This episode is brought to you by Grant Thornton, a professional services firm that gets that cookie-cutter thinking doesn't cut it in today's tech industry. Grant Thornton listens first, tailoring solutions to evolve with your business, whatever comes next. More at gt.com.
This is your tech news briefing for Thursday, January 14th. I'm Amanda Llewellyn for The Wall Street Journal. As investment apps like Robinhood have gotten more popular and commission-free stock trading has become more common, it's never been easier to start investing. And we're seeing a lot of first-time traders getting involved. But where are they getting their information about where to invest or when to sell? As it turns out, many of them are finding it on social media. Our markets reporter Caitlin McCabe will tell us what's happening and how it could impact the markets in turn after these headlines. We report exclusively that Connecticut is investigating Amazon's digital books business. Specifically, investigators are looking into whether Amazon engaged in anti-competitive behavior in the e-book business through its agreements with certain publishers. That's according to the state's attorney general. Amazon declined to comment. Connecticut's investigation is the latest of several state and federal probes into the tech giant's business practices. It appears that the hackers behind the SolarWinds hack used multiple lines of attack to target U.S. government and corporate victims. In a breach at the email security provider Mimecast, hackers used tools and techniques that link them to the group that broke into the software provider SolarWinds, according to people familiar with the investigation. The finding highlights that the massive cyber campaign may have affected more than just SolarWinds users. Mimecast used to be a SolarWinds customer, but no longer uses the software that was corrupted in the breach. U.S. officials have blamed Russia for the attack, which is shaping up to be one of the most consequential cyber attacks in history. Moscow has denied any involvement. We told you before about how the U.S. was considering blacklisting the Chinese tech giants Alibaba, Tencent, and Baidu over concerns about the company's ties to the Chinese military. But now, we report that the government has decided against imposing a ban because of the potential economic fallout of doing so. The companies have a combined $1.4 trillion in market capitalization, and they're heavyweights in popular global stock indexes and ETFs. YouTube is the latest social media company to suspend President Trump's accounts following last week's riot at the U.S. Capitol. The service said it's locking Trump's channel for at least 7 days after it removed videos it said violated its policies against content that incites violence. The move follows similar action from Twitter, Facebook, and other social media companies. And in a surprise move yesterday, Intel ousted its CEO Bob Swan. The semiconductor giant said Swan would be replaced by VMware CEO Pat Gelsinger, who previously served as Intel's technology chief. The move comes after the activist hedge fund Third Point pushed for sweeping changes to revive Intel's fortunes. Last year, the company ceded the title of America's most valuable semiconductor company to its rival NVIDIA, and it fell further behind competitors in producing the most advanced chips. All right, coming up after the break, how social media has become the new Wall Street trading desk. That's next.
This podcast is brought to you by Grant Thornton, a professional services firm you share something with, listening. They take the time to understand you and your business so you get the best solution, not more noise. Start a conversation at gt.com.
There's been an influx of new traders in the stock market in the last year or so, and we report that many of them have been turning to social media for information on what bets to make and where to invest. Here to talk more about what's been going on is our markets reporter, Caitlin McCabe. Hey, Caitlin, thanks for joining me.
Thanks for having me.
So what exactly have we been seeing?
So over the past year, really since the pandemic started, you've seen this rush of retail trading activity occurring. And this has been a trend that's been years in the making, but because we've had so many people who were working at home and the markets were so volatile, you saw all these first-time traders signing up for accounts and trying their hands at trading stocks and options and other securities. And a lot of them are pulling their trading ideas from online communities across the internet. So you're seeing social media sites like TikTok, Twitter, Facebook, Reddit, YouTube, and many more that I haven't named. All these young traders, young and in all ages, are going on to these communities and they're talking about stocks and they're bragging about their gains and commiserating about their losses and just debating which stocks they should be buying.
And what does that look like? Are there any stories that stuck out to you?
Yeah, so definitely. I mean, as I've mentioned before, we're seeing all of these traders who are trying their hands at this for the first time. And, you know, due to the pandemic, people are often working from home, or they may have been furloughed or laid off from a job. And so we talked to one trader who, during that period where she was out of work, she was deciding to try her hands at the market. And so she joined a Discord group for the chat platform there. And basically, with a group of friends, she would wake up early every day and kind of assess her stock moves and look at her options positions, and then would jump on a Zoom call with her friends and live trade as trading kicked off every single day. And so I think what's most interesting about this trend is you're finding all of these traders are finding these little pockets of communities in which, you know, they're learning about the stock market and they're teaching each other and swapping tips, but some are, you know, telling me that they found really good friends in these communities. And, you know, now they have these routines that they've established during the pandemic that, you know, maybe a year or two before they weren't doing. And so really interesting that, you know, if people are out of work, I've talked to several traders who are like this, that they're turning to the markets as a source of income and a way to, you know, occupy some of their time.
And this concept isn't exactly new, right? We've seen people use the internet to talk about trading before.
Exactly. So when you think of these historically, you kind of think of the classic 90s chat room during the dot-com bubble, where people were in these chat rooms and they were doing the exact same thing where they were talking about stocks. But the thing that's different this time is social media is everywhere. It's so ingrained in our lives. There are so many platforms. You can get it right on your phone. And at the same time, you can now trade stocks from your phone. It's now free on most platforms to trade stocks. So you just have all these factors that are kind of converging together to make it super easy to pick up an idea from your phone on Facebook or TikTok and then immediately open up your app with your brokerage and execute a trade really quickly. So it's all just happening so much faster and such a larger scale than it was a few decades ago.
So what has been the impact on the market? Are we seeing specific winners and losers as a result of this trend?
So, yeah, exactly. These traders aren't just talking a big game. They're actually, you know, piggybacking on each other's ideas, and they're sending some of these stocks on, you know, a really interesting journey. In our story, we focused on this one stock, NIO, which is a Chinese electric vehicle maker, and you're seeing tons and tons of traders, retail traders specifically, piling into NIO, and you're seeing it constantly top the list of brokerages as their most traded stock for the day or week or month. And you're also just seeing extremely high amounts of trading volume for that stock as well. So, I mean, you know, once some of these stocks go viral, for lack of a better word, it seems like, you know, these traders can really drive activity around them.
And is that something we should be worried about? It seems like that could be a concerning trend in some cases.
I think what's one thing that traders just need to be careful about online is just where they're getting their advice from. So there's always concern that people are, you know, perhaps talking up stocks that don't have much merit, or, you know, talking up stocks for their own personal game, hoping that people will follow them into that trade. But, you know, I think a lot of these brokerages that have, you know, opened up investing to the masses have really prided themselves on, you know, making investing more accessible. And I think social media is a part of that. But I think people just need to do their due diligence before they dive into a stock and make sure that it's a company that they feel comfortable putting their money into.
And if I can ask about a little news you can use, where can people find that kind of information?
Sure. I mean, I think if you're interested in a company, a really good place to start out is, you know, there are so many online resources where you can kind of look at the trends of that stock price. So you can see if it's a volatile stock or if it's more of a steady stock. You can dive into the filings that all of these publicly traded companies have to post through the SEC. So the SEC's website's really great. You can pull up a company's annual filing. You can see, you know, what are its revenues, what are its profits. And that gives some good insight into, you know, how profitable the company is, where it expects to grow from here. So I think those are two really good places to start out, just to make sure that you're investing in a company that, you know, if you want a company that has sound financials and is a bit of more of a steady company, those resources are out there and you can find those answers.
All right. That's our reporter, Caitlin McCabe. Thanks so much for joining me.
Thanks for having me.
That's it for today's tech news briefing. You can find more tech stories on our website, wsj.com. And if you like our show, please do rate and review us in your app store. It really does help. I'm Amanda Llewellyn for The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.
This episode is brought to you by Grant Thornton, a professional services firm that gets that cookie-cutter thinking doesn't cut it in today's tech industry. Grant Thornton listens first, tailoring solutions to evolve with your business, whatever comes next. More at gt.com.